First thoughts, best 5 minutes of the day on a 26-degree Wednesday, the 9th of December. And Jason Cairns, we're looking for a high of 47 today and about the same story tomorrow. How about that?
Wow.
Yeah.
And hopefully I'll be able to get outside a little bit today. That sounds wonderful.
And serious questions now begin. I mean, we're 2 weeks and 2 days till Christmas, so the questions are going to start to arise. I can almost hear people, some nervous folks going, will we have a white Christmas? And so the question will now be on. The watch is on.
Yeah. You just never know. I know Tessa was saying last week, she's like, where's the snow? And I'm like, honey, 2020's been rough already. Let's hold off. So,
Tessa still lives with you. She used to come to our house years and years ago, but we haven't seen her now.
I know. That's been one of the harder things, is that sense of separation. So,
yeah. Her and Elena were tight, but they've had to be parted for a while here. So, anyhow.
Yeah. Okay.
Luke chapter 9 today. You want to go first?
Sure. So I'm going to kind of pull from Luke verses 24 and 25. I'm going with the message today. And it says, self-sacrifice is the way, my way to finding yourself, your true self. What good would it do to get everything you want and lose you, the real you? And for me, I think that, you know, commonly people know this as, why do you want to gain the whole world and lose your soul? And I think the reality that comes across for me with that is, you know, so often, and it seems particularly true over the last several months, is this self-seeking, demanding our own way, you know, trying to gain power, trying to take control. And Jesus is saying here, you know what? That's not the way I've called you to live. If you're going to pursue power, if you're going to pursue wealth, if you're going to pursue greatness, you're going to end up losing yourself in the process. And I think I need to be reminded of that pretty regularly, too.
You know what? This goes off just perfectly. And it's just right that you went first. The Spirit must be leading, because I've got verse 26. So after you say 24 and 25, I'm going New Living for the 26th. Red letters, Jesus says, if a person is ashamed of me and my message, I, the Son of Man, will be ashamed of that person when I return in my glory and in the glory of the Father and the holy angels. And it's just one of those so powerful. To me, it's yet another example of the power of the Word of God. I mean, you can hear that the Word of God is living and active, and yet then when you hear it, you're like, wow, that's, let that set in, right? Who wants Jesus to be ashamed of you? So you're like, all right, I want to confess his name, so.
Right, absolutely. Yeah, and I had messaged you yesterday just saying, I feel like we've lost our way, you know, and part of it is this idea, you know, Christianity is relational. The kingdom of God is about other-centeredness, glorifying God and serving others, loving others. And sometimes I know I lose sight of that pretty regularly.
Yeah, I think going back, today is Wednesday. So Monday, I came across a talk show host that said he wishes that someone who was just assassinated, he hopes that that person would burn in hell. He wanted to know that that person is burning in hell. He also, and I'll go to somebody else posting on Facebook that the political party that was not theirs, they said that, yeah, people of this political persuasion, they have a mental disorder. And it's just like, that's the environment we live in now. And it's like, if there was one question I could ask people, and I think it's one we agree on, it's just like, please pray about and be conscious of how you relationally impact others, both in person and through your social media, don't you think?
Absolutely. You know, I think it's, we have, I think we're taxed with asking ourselves the question, am I loving? Are my words loving? Am I seeking to build up the kingdom of God, or am I seeking to be divisive?
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I agree.
There you go. That's why we call it the best 5 minutes of the day. I mean, we packed it all into 5 minutes. That was pretty meaty.
That's remarkable.
All right.
Well, you know the pressure sometimes have of being a dad, and you want your kids to think you're at least quasi-cool, right? And sometimes you just want to do something that impresses them or makes them laugh.
Yeah, absolutely. Something. Fun dad.
So the other day, my kids were having fun playing in a door frame. And they, I'm sure many kids do this. I don't know if you call it chimneying, like with rock climbing, but it's where you kind of Samson your hands on
like
each side of the doorway.
Sort of.
And then, you know, feet on the other side. And so you use your hands and feet to climb up the door frame. And so Lily, my oldest, was challenging Cooper and saying, I bet I can get to the top faster than you. And so Cooper was doing pretty well, but Lily was definitely the fastest. Longer arms and legs and maybe a little stronger. Maybe, Cooper, maybe. And anyway, so she was timing how fast she could get to the top and, you know, tap her head on the top of the door frame and say, 4 seconds. I did it in 4 seconds. It took you 9 seconds to just get up part of the way. And so, you know, trying to tag along as Nora was going underneath and Mama was saying, don't fall on the baby. I thought, hey, after they finished the game, I'm like, well, Dad can play this game too. And I was like, it would be one of those ha 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 moments because Dad's so tall and can almost step on his tiptoes and touch his head at the top of the door frame. I could be like, look, less than a second when they were saying 4 seconds.
Wow.
So I went over underneath the door frame. And you remember, like, I've gained a lot of weight and lost a lot of ups from when I was 15 and dunked for the first time. But I've still got maybe a little bit of bounce.
Okay.
And so I said, hey, Lily, look, less than 1 second. And I jumped underneath that door frame, and I did not tap my head on the door frame as I intended. I bashed my head on that door frame. I saw stars. I stumbled. Lights flashed before my eyes.
Yeah.
Yeah, and immediately felt the swelling. And my wife just kind of turns over, what are you doing? I had no real answer.
Yeah.
I was like, I was trying to play.
Yeah.
I was trying to impress my children.
Fun Dad kicked in, and you said it was spontaneous, and boom.
Fun Dad became almost Concussion Dad.
Yes, ouch.
And instead of the kids saying, yes, yes, our dad's great, it became, do you want some ice?
So was Lily impressed?
Nope. She just kind of looked at me like, why do you do what you do?
Now, things are probably a little different in terms of going in-person Christmas shopping this holiday season. What with more, you know, with the pandemic, certainly it affects and changes everything. And we
saw box stores sure seem busy, though.
Ah,
at least
right?
When I've been
there.
Okay.
See, I haven't been out and about too much, but it doesn't matter whether it's Target or the mall. I mean, sometimes and traditionally, I mean, searching for that, it can be even the grocery store, right? You're trying to search for and... Basically, folks who know better have broken it down into four main parking space strategies. See which one, if any, describes you. First of all, Caleb, there is the search and destroy. These are the drivers who are cruising the aisles for a space. They don't want to settle for one way out in left field, but they're looking for a real bonus find.
All right. Mm-hmm. Not one of those.
Okay. Next up is the lie in wait. These are drivers who position themselves at the end of an aisle, and they're just going to wait until somebody leaves.
If you've ever watched Mr. Bean, where there's that one little car that he always runs off the road, and you can see him in a parking garage one time where all of a sudden his headlights flick on and he revs the engine, that's what I think of with this one. Someone who's just waiting, and as soon as that spot opens up, they are like gone in 60 seconds.
Right.
Just cruising.
Third is the see it and take it. A driver who simply takes the first spot they see.
Sure.
Yeah, that's kind of simple and basic. And the last one is just build with no explanation. It's called the stalker, which sounds a little creepy.
Does anyone else do the, you deliberately park a little bit further away? And we don't drive like great vehicles, so it's not like, oh, I don't want anyone to ding my vehicle.
Sure.
But I was just always told, it's like, you know what? Any little extra steps you can get in during the day are good, so just park a little bit further away and make yourself walk a little bit in and out of the store. That's always kind of been my strategy.
I was a fan of something you used to do called the pet peeves, even your pet peeve song. Oh, yeah. I thought it was funny. It was good. And so this is something, has anybody else done this? You see somebody, their lights are on, and you've maybe even seen them go into the vehicle, like they're leaving.
And you're just waiting?
No, then they're brushing their hair. I think, you know, finally. How long do you wait there? I mean, it's like you...
When the tail lights are on,
yes,
brake lights,
exactly.
And so it seems that they're ready to back up, but then they're like,
there reaches
no,
a point where you're like, okay, forget it. I don't know if they're going to go. I may complete my shopping. They may still be there.
This is a great parking spot. I'm going to set up residence.
Yes. All right. So this is the story, and Caleb and I seem to disagree with the predominant...
We agree with one another, but we disagree,
right.
With the fact findings here.
I didn't word that the best. So here's what conventional wisdom is saying. The question is, do you end your text messages with periods?
Yes.
They say, and I do too, but they say, if so, stop it.
What?
This is the Bob Newhart advice to somebody with a bad habit. Stop it.
Just stop it. Yeah. Stop it.
Researchers showed that college students' examples of text conversations presented on a phone and through handwritten notes and found that kids rated phone-based sentences that ended in periods as less sincere than those that didn't. They didn't note the same effect in handwritten notes. Like, how is it less sincere? Because I'm just looking at a text I received from a friend this morning, and there's periods in the sentences. I mean, how else do you know that the sentence is done, especially if it's more than one sentence?
How old are we? And I know there's certain things, like, for comedic effect, you spell though, T-H-O, instead of T-H-O-U-G-H. You know, things like that. Uh-huh. You know, like, you know, it's like, oh, he's real good, though. Or, you know, I get that with some exchanges with my brother and things like that, who's younger and far cooler than I. But I always end my text with a period or some sort of ending, question mark, exclamation point. And oftentimes an emoji follows that as well, too. And if I do not end with said period, it's one of two things. Either I'm voice texting and it didn't work correctly, or I'm upset.
Yeah.
So that's usually the key, if it's just like, fine. If I don't end that with a period, probably means that I'm upset.
It's hard to take the way you've been trained and then fitting that into that particular format. And it feels like it leaves it so unfinished to not put the period.
Yes. Are we relics of a bygone grammatical error? Era, rather? I mean, are we? I don't know. Like, is this? Please let us know. Text us on the WIB Lister line. WWIB, your Christmas station, the WIB Wake Up Show, Caleb and Havo, 41 past 8, 30 degrees. And on the line with us right now, Josh Wilson. You know him from Revolutionary, but of course, many great Christmas tunes as well. Josh, good morning. Great to have you with us.
Hey, good morning. Thanks for having me.
Good morning, Josh.
We're going to make you dive right in here, Josh, as we told you off the air. So we're doing something called Rapid Fire. It's a Christmas edition. We put 60 seconds on the clock and try to ask as many get-to-know-you questions as we can, all of which can be answered in a few words or less. Are you ready, Josh Wilson?
I think I'm ready, and I'm only slightly nervous.
All right, here we go. Rapid Fire with Josh Wilson. Here we go. Best Christmas movie? Shop early or last minute?
But not by choice.
Favorite Christmas tree? Or Christmas treat, sorry. Favorite Christmas treat?
Christmas trees?
Christmas treat to eat.
Oh, treat. We make a thing on Christmas morning called caramel sticky bun.
All right, here we go. And now, you already answered this, maybe. Real or fake Christmas tree?
I was going to go with fake because I'm allergic.
All right. Home-cooked Christmas dinner or eat out?
I'm going to go with home-cooked on Christmas Eve and eat out on Christmas if possible.
Colored lights or white lights?
I'm going to go with the clean white.
Gift bags or wrapping paper?
Gift bags. Way faster.
Sledding or ice skating?
Sledding.
Favorite Christmas carol?
O Come, Emmanuel.
And eggnog, yes or no?
I'm not a fan.
All right, there you go. That's how you do it. Josh Wilson, Christmas edition of Rapid Fire here on the WIB Wake Up Show. Well done.
Josh, a native of Arkansas, with us on the line, joshwilsonmusic.com. And your tune, Revolution, you're on the Revolutionary Tour. I mean, great idea. I mean, this idea of a revolution of kindness, because we so need it. I'm just curious, like, what's been your observation, and what was it that inspired you to write that and go with not just a song about kindness, but to calling it revolutionary?
Well, I actually wrote it in October of 2019, so I did not know all of the craziness that this year would hold. You know, I didn't know, of course, about the pandemic or all of the racial tension and reconciliation that would be happening. I did know it was going to be an election year, and anytime that happens in our country, things get really divided and polarized. And I wanted to write a song that essentially said, no matter who you are, what you believe, or who you vote for, I want to treat you with kindness, because as a follower of Christ, I believe we're to be known by our love. And it is, you know, it is revolutionary to act with kindness, I think, these days. And it's something I fall short of every day, but it's a prayer of mine. The song is a prayer of mine that by the Holy Spirit's power, I can treat others with kindness no matter what.
Talking with Josh Wilson here on the WIB Wake Up Show, WWIB. Josh, coming out of that song, Revolutionary, what's one of the best stories that you've heard from people talking about how God used that song in their life?
Well, it has been so fun to know how it has impacted different people in different ways. You know, back to the election, I think many times we maybe share a Thanksgiving table with family members who we don't agree with, but I've heard from some folks that the song has been a reminder that no matter what, there is always a place for kindness and common ground, and I think that's hopefully what the song has been doing for people.
So for the holiday season, Josh Wilson, you've taken creatively, revolutionary, and mashed it together with O Come, O Come, Emmanuel.
Which he told us is his favorite Christmas carol, Rapid Fire. It is useful.
Yeah, there we go. And so, in fact, we're going to be playing it again here in a moment, but talk about the challenges of that, doing that.
Well, you know, I wanted to do a mashup of Revolutionary with, well, it is my favorite Christmas carol, but I wanted to find something, a song whose content matched that of Revolutionary. And of course, Revolutionary is a prayer for God to, like I said, through the Holy Spirit, give me the power that I don't have on my own to be kind no matter what. And O Come Emmanuel is a song of longing for Jesus. You know, the first time he came and also I think for the second time, his second coming. And it's essentially saying, God, we can't do this without you. And so I think the content of those songs is the same. It's asking God for help with something we can't do on our own. And it just so happened that musically they both fit together really well. They both kind of have a minor feel and a triplet shuffle. And I thought, man, this would be the perfect mashup. So it was a little bit challenging to find the right song to mash up. But once I did, it flowed pretty seamlessly.
Well, let's take a listen to it right now here on WWIB. Josh Wilson, thank you for joining us so much for a few minutes. And again, just blessings for a Christmas season for you and your family that's filled with joy, peace, and hope.
Thank you all, and Merry Christmas.
Josh Wilson, Revolutionary with O Come, O Come, Emmanuel, right now here on WWIB. Take a listen.
Do he would love first. what would Jesus do? He would love first. He would love first. So we should love first.
Captain.